morning. It's good to be with you today. We're continuing our study in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As was read this morning, you can tell what the subject is going to be here. And this, we're going to cover verses 7 through 10 this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, or 7 through 11, verses 8 through 11, I'm sorry. What we're dealing with here is a question of divorce. And this is a chapter that is often misused. And the section that we're going to look at today is directed to the unmarried and to the widows. And this also talks some to the single as well. The next lesson next week will be regarding the people that may be married to unbelievers, because at the time of this writing, certainly it would have been true that many people that became Christians may have an unbelieving spouse. And if that spouse left them, if that unbeliever left them, then what is the Christian to do? What is their responsibility in that marriage? So just bear with me as we go through the lesson this morning. We're not going to get to that part. We'll deal with those questions next week. But before we get started in the lesson this morning, I'd like to read with you just a few passages in addition to the one that was read this morning in Matthew chapter 19, which is familiar to a lot of people. But I want you to keep in mind these other passages regarding these questions, because they provide us a foundation for what it is that we're going to talk about this morning. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses marriage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. He says, "But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." In Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus answers the questions regarding marriage, as we read this morning, that indicates that he's dealing with the same issue and the same answer that he gave in Matthew chapter 5. This is also repeated in Mark chapter 10 and also in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and Mark chapter 10 both say the same thing, so I'll just read from Mark chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. Starting verse 10, "The house of the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, 'Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery.'" And I also like to read with you Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, where Paul makes a comment about adultery. And this will be mentioned later on in our lesson. In Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 7. Verses 1 through 3. "Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those that know the law, that the law is binding on a person as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress." So, I'm not going to make a lot of comments about those verses at this time, but I want you to understand that these are the principles that we see laid out in the New Testament regarding marriage. And certainly, it is a big topic today, and it must have been in Paul's day as well, because in our context here, we realize that he's answering questions that people have about things. And so one of the big questions regarding marriage is it okay? Is divorce okay? And in our society, you can just drive down the street and you can see billboards advertising divorce at a low rate. And so in our society, it's by many who are not religious, and maybe by some that are, it's just simply assumed that divorce is acceptable for any reason. And people declare irreconcilable differences and file divorce at alarming rates. And is that what God had in mind for marriage? I think you already know the answer to that question from the things that we've read. That's not what God had in mind for marriage. And so now the laws of our country may allow divorce for any reason. But we're not talking about the laws of our country. We're talking about the laws of God. What does God say about it? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 11, Paul addresses the unmarried and the married, and he gives instructions on how both of these groups are to live. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 8. To the unmarried and to the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. And so, what we see here is that Paul begins addressing this issue, and he begins by addressing the unmarried and the widows. And so, one of the things that happens is people wonder, well, who is he talking to? Who is Paul addressing here? Who belongs in this unmarried category? Because some people might say, well, you know, anybody that's single, and they might include anybody that's been divorced for any reason into this category of unmarried, because that's what would be normal in our society today. Anybody that's not married, maybe they've been married 5 times, but right now they're single and they're considered unmarried. Is this what Paul is talking about when he addresses to those that are unmarried? Well, what he does here is that he addresses the unmarried and the widows. So Paul's addition here of widows to this group helps us to understand who is in view in this verse. Now, if Paul had just said to the unmarried, period, you might be compelled to understand that Paul's referring to anybody who's single for any reason. But you know, adding widows to that makes that a little redundant, doesn't it? So when Paul says to the married or to the unmarried and the widows, he has in mind those who have never been married and also those who have lost their spouse because of death. And this will make more sense as we go throughout the passage, and you'll see Paul addressing different groups here. But when Paul is addressing here to the unmarried and the widows, he's saying to those that are single who've never been married before and to those who are now single because their spouse died. That's who he's addressing here in this verse. So in another way, you could say Paul is referring to people who have a right to marriage. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, Jesus gives every person the right and privilege to one marriage. Verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Again, we're not including those who are divorced in this category of unmarried. You'll see this in verses 10 and 11. Paul doesn't have them in mind right now, but he will have them in mind later. So Paul here instructs the unmarried and the widows to remain as he is. And some translations will say to remain single. And I think that's the right translation. But as we talked about last week, is Paul talking about those who are... Is he recommending to everybody that they ought to remain single? And I apologize for getting behind here on my slides. I've got a lot of my slides this morning. I want you to look at this verse here. It is good for them to remain single, but if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. As we mentioned last week, God declared in the beginning that it was not good for man to be alone. In fact, the only thing that was not good in the creation was the fact that man was alone. So when Paul is recommending to stay single, we'll see things later on in the text where Paul says there's the current distress that may have something to do with this as well. But Paul's not arguing that there's some kind of higher spirituality or morality in being single over married. That would contradict how the rest of the Scriptures describe the blessings and the benefits of being married. But again, we're seeing that Paul is addressing questions. He's addressing things that have been brought up to him by the Corinthian church. And I don't have a list of the questions. We can infer what some of the questions were by his answers. and the way that he responds. And so verse 8 gives us a sense that there's a question about single life. And this is a society, the Corinthian society was a society that thought people needed to get married and recommended marriage. And this was very strong in the Jewish culture. Rabbis were expected to be married. And today, we see that kind of thing as well in our culture. For example, I was the oldest child in my family, but I was the last to get married of my three brothers. Now, Byron got married early, Alan a little bit later, and some of you may have even been at Alan's wedding. It was at the Winfrey Hotel, and Julie Buchanan, who attended Montevallo, and you may have been among those in the audience wondering, what's wrong with the older brother? Why isn't he married? And so that was a day where I got inundated with, well, when is it going to be your turn? You know, and I always said Jesus gave up his life when he was 33. But that's a question that always was asked of me, and it's something that others, you know, may have experienced as well, especially if you had siblings that were younger that got married before you. And when you look at what Paul says here, he said there's nothing wrong with someone who's not married. And those of us that are married that think that everybody that's single must be miserable and we've got to make them get married is not the reaction that we need to have. Paul says that you can live an acceptable life as a single person. You can be God-pleasing as a single person. And I believe this is exactly the point that Paul is making to the Corinthian brethren. There may be some that are under similar pressures and they have questions about this. But one thing that Paul makes very clear is that being single means that you have to exercise self-control. Being single means that you have physical desires that you cannot fulfill because they need to be fulfilled inside of marriage, and those things being fulfilled outside of marriage is utterly condemned by God. So the single life means that you have to maintain sexual purity. It means that you need to be celibate. And some of your translations may say that it is better to marry than to burn. And the burning there is not talking about hell. The burning is talking about to burn with passion. That was a common phrase in those days, and a lot of translations go ahead and say that, you know, burn with desire or burn with passion or burn with lust. And so that was something that was a very common thing to understand. So Paul is reminding them that marriage is the answer for those desires. And if you're going to be overcome with lust and passion while trying to live a single life, you better marry instead of burn, because you'll lose your soul over it if you can't control yourself. And so it's not saying that the purpose of marriage is solely to fulfill your desires, but if you can't control yourself, then you need to be married. And marriage is the only lawful place for those physical desires to be satisfied. So Paul has that instruction for those who are going to be single. Moving on to verse 10 and 11, Paul turns his attention to the married and gives instructions for them. Notice what he says here. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. So you notice what Paul says here. He's pointing out to them, I'm not telling you anything new. This is not me that's saying this. This is something that the Lord said. And we've already looked at that in the passages that we read in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 19 and Mark and Luke. Jesus has already said these things, and Paul is reminding them, I'm not telling you anything. This is not I, but this is the Lord saying those things. Let's recall what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 3. The Pharisees came up to him and said, is it lawful for one to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate. And so what Paul is saying in verse 10, when he says the wife shall not separate from her husband, he also repeats that in verse 11 and says that the husband shall not divorce his wife. And so you see up here what we have highlighted in Matthew and what we have highlighted in 1 Corinthians, it's exactly the same thing. Paul's saying exactly what Jesus did. Jesus said, what man has joined together, let not man separate. Paul said the wife should not separate from her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. And so, one of the questions that comes up from time to time, where people try to make this more complicated than it is, they talk about, well, is there a difference between divorce and separate? And these words are used interchangeably. In fact, if you look what Jesus said, let not man separate, he's talking about divorce. And so, don't think in the way that people think today, because in our society, there's a difference in people's mind in a divorce and a separation. And there's no such thing here. Once you left, you were divorced in those days. You could not be separated but still married like you can today. So they are the same thing. And the words separate and divorce are used interchangeably here. Another thing that we need to note is that God does not follow what Congress is doing or what the Supreme Court is doing. God is not changing His law based on what our society is doing. God does not care what our laws say about marriage. God does not care what our laws are about divorce or what our practices are on remarriage. And this is something that the world needs. And this is why this topic is so difficult for some, is because it's counter to what culture is doing. But what Jesus is saying and what Paul is emphasizing is that marriage is to be for life. That you are not to divorce. You are entering into marriage as a covenant that will not be broken as long as you live. In fact, most of us say those words in our vows to each other. We say, till death do us part. And my dad's joke was always, some people said, for better or for worse, or for better or else. Some people want it to be not for better or worse, but they want it to be for better or else I'm out of here. And that's not the way that we are to be. It's a serious vow. It's God's intention for marriage that we do not divorce. One man, one woman for life is what God created in marriage in Genesis chapter 2. And Jesus confirmed that teaching in Matthew chapter 19, as we've already read. And Paul is confirming that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He's just repeating the same thing that the Lord said. One thing that we see today is that people tend to think of marriage as some kind of contract. In fact, there are those that have contracts, aren't there? They call them prenuptial agreements. Is that a contract? If you do this, then I'm going to do this. And if you refrain from doing this, then I'll stay with you. And if you don't do these things, then I'm going to leave. And if you do leave, here's what I'm going to give you, and here's what I'm going to get. And so they've already planned that I'm not really serious about this covenant because I'm making all these plans for what's going to happen when it's broken. Is that the way that we're to think about marriage? Is it some kind of contract like we have at our cell phone? I mean, just recently I've been thinking about dropping DirecTV and going to Charter. Maybe some of you want to tell me why I shouldn't do that, but the bundled pricing may be better, and I called DirecTV. What's going to happen? Am I breaking my contract? Am I going to have to pay something if I make this change? No, you've already fulfilled your agreement. Well, I fulfilled my contract. So I can do whatever it is. Marriage is not a contract that can be broken like a cell phone service. And if you're happy with your service, you're going to stay with them. But if you don't like them, what they're doing, then you move to another carrier And so we stay with them as long as we're happy. This is not the way we should treat marriage. Your marriage vows were not that you would love each other as long as the person did certain things for you. Well, I didn't hear your marriage vows, so I don't really know what was in them. But most people do not make marriage vows like this. That you said that you're in for rich or poor, for health or sickness or any other circumstance. Or if you do certain things for me, I vow to stay with you and I vow to take out the trash as long as you cook dinner for me every night. That's not what you hear. And most people smiled when I said that because they think it's ridiculous. God intended for marriage to be a covenant. And as we've seen in the Old Testament, the covenant that God had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was something that wasn't broken. It was something that was serious. And that's what God modeled for us when He talks about us entering into a covenant. So let's keep that in mind. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. Now Paul turns his attention here, what to do if divorced. To the married I give this charge, not I but the Lord, that the wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. And so Paul continues in his directions, and he's confirming here that divorce does occur. This does not mean, because Paul said, but if there is divorce, to do this and this, and we'll talk about these things in a second. He's not saying, well, divorce is okay. The divorce is lawful for God. If it were lawful, then he wouldn't keep repeating that it's not. So do not divorce. Wives, do not divorce your husbands. Husbands, do not divorce your wives. So verse 11 is not granting permission for divorce, but it's instructing on what one should do if divorce occurs. Divorce is a sin. But if a person gets a divorce, God's governing from here on out what should be done. So, if a person gets a divorce, that person should remain unmarried or be reconciled to their spouse. That's what it says. Verse 11, or verse 10, to the married I give this charge, and I have it the Lord, the wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. Again, I'm going to say that society today and the situations that people find themselves in, people will twist the scriptures here, and especially in the next part of chapter 7 that we're going to look at next week. And I'm trying to the best of my ability to show you the simplicity of what it is that God taught on this subject. And to me, it only gets difficult when people start trying to harsh words or to justify their situation. And I don't say those things to be unkind, because I know that people do have situations that they get into. Sometimes situations that they're in may not be their fault. It may be the fault of their spouse or former spouse. We'll talk more about that next week. What I'm saying is that this is God's law. If a person gets a divorce, that person must remain unmarried or reconciled to their spouse. That's God's law. It does not say that that person is now unmarried or that person is now considered to be single, as they might be termed in our society today, that they're free to do whatever they want to do. So in our world, people just assume that we can get remarried for any reason. But that's not what God commanded. God, through Paul here, said that if you do divorce, you have two options. You either stay single, or you must reconcile to the spouse you married. So that brings us to some questions that might be brought up. and certainly there are often questions about this passage, and somebody might rightly point out that, well, 1 Corinthians was written to Christians. You know, that Paul wrote this to Christians, and he did, didn't he? And so therefore, since this was written to Christians, then this teaching doesn't apply to anybody that's an unbeliever. So if you're divorced and remarried a bunch of times before coming to Christ, then it doesn't matter. Once you come to Christ, you must remain in whatever marriage that you are in. Is that right? Again, some people say this doesn't apply to non-Christians. This applies to Christians. And so this isn't going to apply. And so whatever state that somebody finds themselves in when they come to Christ, it may be the seventh wife, or maybe the second wife, or second husband, whatever the case is, whatever situation you're in when you come to Christ, that's the one that you're stuck with. That's the one that you have to stay with. And now, from here on out, all of these things apply. Well, let's think about that. Is that really what the Bible teaches? I submit to you that anybody that says that this does not apply to anybody but Christians, it's false teaching. Because Paul, remember what he said, he's going back to what the Lord taught. And he's saying that this is nothing new. What we read in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, when Jesus is asked the question about, is it okay for us to divorce for any reason? Jesus said no. From the beginning it was not so. And he points back to Adam and Eve that they were to leave the father and mother and cleave. A man was to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And so, when Jesus gave his command, was he speaking to Christians? Well, there weren't any Christians at that time when he was asked that question, because he hadn't died on the cross yet. So when Jesus gave his command, he was speaking to the Jews. And so did Jesus' teaching, because he was talking to the Jews, did that apply to the Jews only? No. You know, this teaching was for all people. Because when Jesus gave his teaching in Matthew chapter 19, he was not just talking to the Jews, because he goes all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to creation. Who was giving people in marriage in that day? Well, it was God. And these marriage laws in the beginning were not given to Christians. In fact, if you think about it, you know, Adam and Eve, you to leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. Adam, what the father? And this was not given to Adam and Eve only. This was something that God was setting up at the beginning to be the rule, to be the law for all time. And so when Jesus goes back to the beginning in Matthew chapter 19 to answer this question, he's saying, this is what God intended from the beginning for marriage. So, to answer the question about 1 Corinthians 7, does this just apply to Christians? No, it applies to everybody. Because Jesus said it applies to everybody. He goes back to the beginning. Paul quotes what Jesus said. One man for one woman. This was God's law from the beginning. And what God put together, people are not to separate. So that brings up, you know, other questions that sometimes need to be discussed. And we'll talk more about this next week, some other questions, but you may come up with a question too that you'd like to have answered. And I'd be glad to try to deal with any of those that you feel we haven't sufficiently dealt with in the study. But what happens now? How do we apply these things? What happens if the divorce remarries? And so, this is a question that Paul did not deal with specifically, but he gave us principles that we can apply to this situation. What does it mean if I am divorced and I did remarry? Well, go back to what Paul said. Paul said not to divorce. God said not to divorce, but you did. And God commanded that if you did divorce, you know, what are you to do? What did Paul say? If you did divorce, which you shouldn't have, then you're not to get married again, or you are to be reconciled to your spouse. Matthew chapter 19, again, you know, we need to know this well. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And so Jesus is saying that if you divorce your spouse and marry someone else, you have committed adultery. The only occasion where you have not committed adultery is if your divorce was for the cause of sexual immorality and you divorced your spouse because they committed sexual immorality. Jesus said the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So again, we see the simplicity of the law that Jesus laid out, and we see the simplicity of what Paul said that we have to apply to our situations today. No matter how complicated those situations may seem, we need to turn back to the simplicity of what God said. So you notice from what we have laid out here that if you were married, you get a divorce, and you marry another person, then you've committed adultery. And if your spouse divorced you and the divorce was not for sexual immorality, and then you get married, you are also committing adultery. And this explains why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, when he says, "But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband." So Paul here says that if you are divorced, you must remain unmarried or be reconciled, unless you fit into that category of that exception where you put away your spouse because of immorality. So this teaches us something very important, that marriage is not a right, and remarriage is not a right, and being single in the eyes of the world does not mean that you have the right to get married. This is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. When Paul is addressing to those who are unmarried in verse 8, as we said at the beginning of the lesson, we understand that as he's talking to the ones that have the right to be married, not just all the people in the world that consider themselves to be single. And so the principles here are very simple. Let's address one more issue. Sometimes people have the question, and it has happened from time to time, when you're having a study with someone, that you realize that they are in a big mess with their marriage. And some will study the Scriptures, and they will look at the Scriptures, and they'll agree that their divorce was wrong, and that their subsequent remarriage was wrong. And they will agree that they committed adultery when they remarried, just as Jesus said. But now, the situation is that they are married. Can we stay in that marriage relationship? Is that marriage sinful, or can we repent and remain in that marriage? I think what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, as we read earlier, is very instructive here. Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. "For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress." So you notice here that the person who was married, who leaves for another, is considered an adulteress. How long are they considered an adulteress? Until their first husband died. And when the first husband died, they're released from that bond. They're no longer considered an adulteress. And just a little side point, who does Romans chapter 7 apply to? Romans chapter 7 is talking about someone who was bound by Lot or her husband and then went to live with somebody else. And so she is considered an adulteress. And unless she leaves that relationship and is reconciled to her husband, she is going to be considered an adulteress. But when her husband dies, she's no longer considered an adulteress because death separates that relationship. There are some that teach that once somebody is divorced, and if they're not divorced for the cause of sexual immorality, then they can never remarry no matter what. If the spouse dies, then they are free from that bond, and they are free to remarry. That's what Paul is teaching. And if that situation is not in mind by Paul, I don't know what other situation Paul is talking about, because that's the only thing that can apply to you. But the point here, you know, not to get off track, is that Paul is saying that death severs that relationship. And the person that separated from their husband and went to be with somebody else, they're not allowed to be in that relationship. And she is considered an adulteress unless she repents and is reconciled, or unless that first husband dies. So the person who married who leaves for another is considered an adulteress as long as the spouse lives. Notice that it does not say that she is called an adulteress until she repents. But that's what, you know, some of the world would teach today. It's, well, you know, she can stay in that relationship as long as she is sorry for what it is that she's done. But she can stay in that adulterous relationship if she repents. And that kind of gets into, you know, what is true repentance, but some people would say, well, you know, just saying that I really shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have divorced my husband, I shouldn't be in the situation that I'm in now, but I'm sorry about that. A lot of people would say, well, that's okay, you can stay in that relationship. That's not what Paul said. Paul said that she is an adulteress as long as that husband lives. And again, I don't say that to be harsh or unkind. I'm just trying to lay out what the Scriptures teach on this matter. So Paul says, if you divorce, going back to 1 Corinthians 7, if you divorce, you must remain unmarried or be reconciled. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you marry again, you're committing adultery because you're still bound to another person. Your repentance and sorrow is a good start, but the law that's given by Christ, the law that's given by Paul, is something that needs to be adhered to. And certainly this, in our world today, it brings up lots of complications. But usually the complications stem from the fact that people are not adhering to God's law on marriage. They're not considering marriage to be a covenant. They're considering it to be a contract. And people, you know, when no-fault divorces came into play, people can divorce for anything. What we need to understand is that we can't reject the teaching of the Lord, no matter how difficult the commands may be to apply. You know, the Lord is the master in these areas, and we need to submit to His marriage laws. I appreciate your kind attention. We went a little over today, but next week we're going to get into the next section where Paul addresses, well, what about these marriages that are mixed? Because in that day, as we said at the beginning of the lesson, there were those Christians who had spouses who were unbelievers. What was to be done in those situations? What if the unbeliever left? What was the Christian's responsibility in those situations? So be prepared for that section of this next week, and that will complete our thoughts here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in regard to these instructions on marriage. If in any way today you're subject to the invitation, perhaps your relationship with God is not what it should be, or if you studied the Word of God and you've been putting off doing what it is that you need to do, perhaps to be buried in baptism or rise to walk the new life. If we can help you in any way to respond, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.